I love that music. I do. So, I have to say, I love that music. But my that's by my son, by the way, Scruffy Fox, if on YouTube. So if you like the music and you want to see a little bit more of his ambient music, he's at Scruffy Fox at YouTube. Does it did it for me? Nice little upbeat tune. I was really chuffed with it.
I look forward to it every week, Leif. I must admit, I really do look forward to hearing that every week.
Sometimes I just play it when I'm sat at home on my own, just to cheer myself up when I'm bending down.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Especially after this weekend, mate. Especially after this weekend.
Absolutely. Hello. Anyway, good evening and welcome you guys that are watching in the chat, in the comments. Welcome to Shooting the Shit, a Tottenham talk show with me, leader Dorset Spur. What a week it's been. What a terrible week it's been. I'm hoping that today we can do a little bit of a therapy session, make ourselves feel a little bit better about the week that's been, and hopefully look forward to a better week coming up. Fingers crossed, we can only hope. Unfortunately, Dean can't make it this evening. He's otherwise engaged. We hope that everything's okay with Dino, and we'll see him on the next one. Alex is running slightly late because the poor man is working. So we decided to crack on, start the chat now. And when Alex is able to get a cup of tea, sit his ass down and come and chat to us, he will join us very shortly. But I have, of course, the ever-present Mason. Hello, buddy. How are you feeling?
Well, it's been a tough day. As they say, a tough day at the office. Haven't had 5 minutes of peace with people going, oh, did you go to the game? Or did you watch the game? Or and just getting sacked. Oh, fuck off. Leave me alone. 5 minutes, please. Try to crack on. But yeah, I've had it all day. All day.
Well, it looks like your dad is there. Is he there? Let me just click on the ad. Here he is.
Here he is.
You all right? Bear with me for a second.
How are you doing? You all right? You look stressed.
Yeah. An absolute waste of an afternoon, mate.
Oh, dear. There you go. Can't hear you,
mate.
There you go.
Can you hear me? What a waste of an afternoon. Fuck me. But there you go. One of those things. Hey, you know, you're all right?
Yeah, not too bad. It could be worse, though, right? You've had a bad day, but it could be worse. You could be a Tottenham fan, right?
Fucking mate, don't. what can I say to that? Did you put the schedule on WhatsApp? Bear with me, darling.
Well, you crack on looking for that. I'm going to carry on talking to Mason because we are actually live already. So,
are we on brim? Okay.
We'll crack on to a little bit. So Mason, look, I know you and your dad went up to the game and Dean. But before the game, overall feeling before the game, what was your expectations from it?
I mean, this is coming from a pessimistic Tottenham fan who, you know, we'd only won one game in nine. So we were all sitting outside. Me and good friend Ryan were sitting there saying, reckon it's gonna be a draw. In all fairness, it's David Moyes, new manager coming through to Everton. I mean, we'll say a new manager, a return of a manager coming through to Everton. And
evening, David.
We weren't overly confident with a win, must admit. But we did say a draw, cheeky one-all draw, I put. I said, start the game. I said, Charleston's going to score and he's going to cry like he always does when he plays Everton and scores. And then they'll equalise last minute like they always do. But it didn't turn out that way.
What about you, Alex? Are you was you feeling optimistic or pessimistic along with Mason?
I was expecting a win, obviously, with Everton being the way that they were or are. But I enjoyed the day, mate. It was we spoke about the game on the way up there. That was when Mason and Ryan were awake. they were asleep holding hands in the back of the car because they're that close. We was all, you know, pessimistic about the game, but I honestly thought we was going to win. I thought we was going to have a good game, you know. But how wrong could I have been? Shit right out, basically, mate.
Yeah, it just to show you that we don't know anything about football at all. I do a prediction thing with the Irish Hotspur. There's a few of us that do it, and I have to say, it's getting harder and harder to actually predict anything. Like, you just don't know. For me, I was saying this is a, you know, this could be a 3-2, you know, win to us and blah, blah, blah. But I expected there to be goals in it, but to be honest with you, I thought Everton was played a lot better than I was expecting them to do. I was expecting them to be solid, giving us a bit of a bit of a physicality at the beginning and try and keep us down, keep us quiet, and then maybe get one on a corner or a free kick or something like that. Didn't pan out like that at all, did it?
No, what's happening is that the teams that we're playing, in my opinion, obviously only probably got it completely wrong, but the teams we are playing want it more. Any team that plays Tottenham, they want to turn us over, and so far they're all doing a very good fucking job at it. But we seem to come out on a pitch either knackered or broken, or just haven't got a clue. And the teams are reading what we're doing so quickly, because and just turning us over. They want it more, whether it's at home or away. They come out, all guns are blazing. Us, we're firing blanks. Them, they're firing 50 caliber bullets, mate. You know, they're coming in pretty strong and destroying us. I just can't work it out. I just can't work it out what's going on at the club.
No, it is really frustrating. I have to say, I didn't expect Everton to play as well as they did. And fair play to them. You know, they played as if they didn't have any fear at all.
Yeah, exactly.
And kind of that just got onto us, you know. And our team looked like we're scared to death of everything that's happening. And I kind of understand that, the way things are going. Sometimes when your luck is down, good girl.
She's great. She's great, isn't she, my missus? You know, she wants to renew our vows. I'm going to be thinking about it. Look, go on.
for those listening on the audio platforms, Sweary Alex's missus has just handed him a nice cold beer after being out of work all day and jumping straight on this podcast. So fair play to him,
play
Mason. Let me come to you. Starting 11, right? I thought this was probably the best that we could have hoped for, given all the injuries and everything. I was a bit surprised that we went to a back three, if I'm honest. That wasn't expected. I was kind of hoping that it meant that Archie Gray was going into midfield, but I couldn't work it out. So when we first kicked off, I was a bit confused.
I mean, seeing the starting 11 straight away, I thought the back three, I was like, oh, that's a bit odd. But maybe we'll see a bit more of what Jed Spencer's like at Forest, and Porro being back to himself with a less desire to defend, because we all know that Porro's not the best at defending. So we all bit of hope that it might turn it round. But then when you saw, in my opinion, that the one thing that would have fixed the game a little bit was moving two centre-halves. Right, hear me out here. Gray in the middle would have helped out the defence a lot more, with dropping into the midfield, dropping back, exactly what Dier used to do, or exactly like what Emre Can used to do at Liverpool, and so on and so on. With that extra overload in the midfield, it would have helped a lot more. But instead, we had Dragas in the middle, who isn't in the best of form. He was trying to do the same thing that Gray can do, and we ended up paying the price for it three times. I want to say Dragas was at fault for all three goals, all coming from his area. So it's a bit poor. I would have thought Gray in the middle in that back three would have helped us a lot more than Dragas in the middle. But then again, I liked, everyone's been saying Ange's arrogant, me included. Ange's arrogant. He won't switch. He switched up a little bit to try and help out, and it didn't work. So do we go back to square one, or do we try again? Do we switch again? But I think the main problem about that 11 was, and people don't like to talk about it, a bit of a touchy subject, is Son. He's not on it anymore. He can't do it. Whether that's playing in the nine or playing on the wing, I can't remember a convincing performance he's had this season. And the last time he did play well was Southampton. And even then he was shaky. So I don't know what to suggest for Sonny anymore. But I think his time has come a little bit. Mikey Moore come on, played the left wing role perfectly. Two assists. What can I say? I think Mikey Moore showed him up, and I think he will be the future.
Yeah, no, I do agree with that. Let me just pick up on the Son thing, because we all worry about calling Son out because he's been such a great servant to the club and that. But I think we've all recognised that he's not at his best, even by his own standards. But there was according to some videos that I've seen, a fair bit of abuse of him at the end. Was that, you guys was there, so was that abuse at him or was it at Ange? Because Ange was kind of in the area, and it felt to me like a little bit like it was more aimed at Ange than Son. And I've seen other videos that kind of show that actually it was only a small minority giving him abuse. So, like, from your guy, you were in the stand. What was it? What was it like? Was Sonny getting abused?
No, it was two men at the front row shouting at Ange. And Son's standing there, like we've all seen the video, Ange on his face, pretending to cry for some reason. He was standing in front of all the fans, and he wasn't getting the stick. It was Ange. And you can even see in other videos as well that they weren't pointing at the Son. You know when you all point and point, wanker, whatever. They're all doing it at Ange. It wasn't Son. Ooh. But the media like to run with Son's a crybaby, didn't they? Or Son's emotional. And that's exactly what they've done again. It wasn't aimed at Son. Son's just taking the flack of, I've had a shit game. We were shit. But it was all directed at Ange. If you look at any other view, it was all directed at Ange.
Yeah, and there might have been three old blokes because I was giving him some shit as well. But it wasn't. I mean, I don't think any of us would have a pop at Son like that because we can all see that he's going through something, whatever it is. He has been disappointing, and you do get frustrated with him. But you wouldn't abuse Son. I would like to have thought that if anyone was having a pop at him around me, I would have had a go at him. But it was, and even having a go at Ange, I mean, no one was calling him a wanker around this way. Would you say that the whole team was shit? That his tactics was shit? You know, and that was it. I mean, every time we had the ball, was like, we've got the ball, we've lost the ball, you know, all that kind of chant. Where we were standing, it was more of a comical thing because that's all we could do is just laugh. Yes, I think the team, are you fit to wear? You're not fit to wear his shirt. I mean, that was called out a few times at the end. But there wasn't much booing. It was just more, your shit, you know, sort it out. You know, but nothing
that kind of resigned to it, kind of chanting and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it wasn't directed at Son. You know, not anyone around near me was having a go at Son. I mean, we were just saying, fucking sort it out. You know.
Yeah.
So it's embarrassing.
I must admit, I am. So I did a video after the game.
Who's that with?
On my own. I don't normally do reaction videos straight after a game because you know what I'm like. I get so emotional over it. Someone wrote in the comments, you know, it's only football, mate, calm down. But you know what it's like. You get all upset and worked up and all the rest of it. But I'm kind of, I was at the point where I'm calling out Ange at the same time. I was like, oh, you know, doing my nutting the geezer, you know, he's really annoying me now, and I just don't think it's going to work, and all the rest of it. But at the same time as that, even if I was there, I don't think I'd be abusing the manager. Like, I don't think
you would have been.
I don't think it's the right thing to do.
You would have been, Lee. You would have been. It was so frustrating, mate. I can't imagine you being quiet after travelling all that way to watch the team not play as a team. You know, we're so predictable. We're so slow. There's no creativity. Nobody wants to take a shot. And it's the same every fucking game. And for him to come over and go, oh, it's what we are, and it's what we do. It's entertainment. If you were standing next to me, you would have been saying something, Lee. I can't imagine you not saying something.
Well,
like the rest of us, you would have been, what am I watching? What are you doing to my club?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I was doing that, sat in the club watching it with the South Dorset Spurs boys. Because, I mean, to be honest with you, in our prediction video, pretty much everybody was like, this is a must win. We're going to win, blah, 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 and all the rest of it. This is a poor Everton side and all the rest of it. The only concern I had was that it was, you know, David Moyes, managerial bounce. Is that going to help him? That kind of stuck in my mind. And I called it out. Bearing in mind they lost against Villa as well. But in the week, I spoke to Across the Park podcast for Everton Fan Channel, they always ask me every time we play them, and I always go on there because they're a good bunch of lads. And he said to me that Calvert-Lewin hasn't scored for 17 games, right?
Yeah,
and
he's what Mason out, said, yeah.
getting nowhere. And so I said to him, you've got to stick a quid on that, mate. You've got to stick a quid on that because Dr. Tottenham are in the house, and that's the way it's going to happen. And then Calvert-Lewin comes up, 17 games without a thing. He tiptoes through our defence, totally unchallenged, turns three of our players and pops one in the back of the net.
Yeah,
I think he had something like, I don't know, 11 touches of the ball or something. I reckon about 9 of them was when he scored his goal, because he could have had a wander around. Like, I just couldn't believe how easy that goal was that he scored.
We were just watching it. It was just, I mean, like Mason said, Dragson should have been on it, should have closed it down. But the rest of them are just, they're just watching it. Nobody wants to make a challenge because it's in the area. But it's just, I just don't know what's going on. Really don't. Mason called it on the way up that he would score, didn't you?
Yeah.
So, you know.
We all knew he was going to score. We all knew he was going to score. As soon as you saw the massive gap he had in between not scoring, we all knew what was going to happen. Like you say, they put a quid on it. I spoke to one of the blokes who support Leicester, and I sent him the photo because he didn't believe doctors. A lot of people have never heard of the phrase Dr. Tottenham. So I sent him a meme, and he went, ah, ha, ha, quite funny. He went, might stick a fiver on Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison to score this game. I went, I hope that fucking money come through. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, no, it was really, really disappointing. I want to touch on Dragushin as well for the second goal. That one really got up my nose. The fact that he was backing off. Mason, what was your view? I don't know what sort of view you had of the game, because I know Goodison's not a great away end. But were you able to see it from where you were?
So the goal was directly in front of us. So for the first half, the goal that Everton was trying to score in, so our end, was directly in front of us. So we saw everything. So the Dragosin fuck up on the first one, the second one, even the corner where Gray tapped it in, all three of them we saw, like with our own eyes, dead ahead, like less than 20 metres ahead of us. We all saw it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just Dragosin really, the performance wasn't really, as you say, he's backing off. And Dean makes a really good point. It's a shame he's not here because he made a good point since the last episode. And it was that Ange at the moment seems to be coaching whatever individuality a player has. And I completely understand. The best example for that was Kinski against Liverpool.
Where he was
picking out the passes down the wing. Everyone's like, oh, breath of fresh air. The next game against Arsenal, different player. He weren't doing none of that. He was scared. I mean, Havertz even pressured him to that point. Havertz was pressuring Kinski. But against Liverpool, they weren't getting nothing like that. And you can see it in Dragosin, where you're saying he's backing off. When we signed him from Genoa, I saw all of these pundits and videos and reporters hyping up, saying this is what this man can do, and he's only 22. Dragosin never backed off. He would always follow his man and put a foot in, and that's what he was known for. And if I'm being honest, we were sold a dream, and we didn't get it. So seeing him backing off for that second goal and the first one, if you look at it with the Calvert-Lewin chance, it's quite annoying because at the club where he was at before, he wasn't doing that. And he was known for not doing that. But he was known for putting a foot in, and 9 times out of 10 was getting the ball. And I think that's the situation we're in, where Ange is slowly but surely coaching every individuality out of the players. Son and Maddison don't shoot no more. And Porro. All three who we know can put their laces through the ball, they're not doing it. And I don't understand it, Lee. I really don't.
You said about that second goal, Mason. Sorry. The Everton player gets it from the halfway line, and Dragosin fucking just runs back, backtracking. And then he just goes around him and pops in. I mean, he's never done that before, has he? He's normally bouncing on people's backs and getting a yellow card for it.
Yeah,
well, so I make what you and what Dean has said absolutely correct. He's coached it out of them.
I just wonder whether it's a mixture of where he's given away so many stupid free kicks for diving in and all the rest of it, and he's kind of maybe been told about that, and then he's gone too far the other way, and he's now scared to make a challenge. Because he don't want to make the same mistakes that he's been making, because they're probably focusing on that in his training. Let me come on to Go on.
Sorry, Lee. Sorry, mate. That second comp so annoyed me, Lee. I'm going to be jumping in all for the next 40 minutes. But that second goal where you just run back, even if he put a boot in, it's just past the halfway line. Wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
Why is he running
Exactly.
back when he gets closer to our like the penalty area? I understand that, free kick,
Yeah.
they could pop it in. But make a challenge as soon as you can. I mean, even
No,
mind I train my
absolutely.
girls, make a tackle. Don't run with it. Get in there.
But
Am I
yeah,
crazy?
I was the same, mate.
Oh.
I was watching it, and I'm watching him backing off, and I'm saying to, I think Colin was sat next to me, and I'm saying to Colin, "Look, he's backing off. He's backing off. Why is he backing off?" And I'm getting so animated, and I'm
Mate, oh,
sitting there
fucking
trying not to. But
should have seen us.
you get so involved in it, and it's just, I think I used the term, it's killing my soul. Like watching the game, it's killing my soul, and I'm getting so frustrated because I'm. You know, I've always wanted to support the team, support the players. Look at the glasses are full type of thing. Happy clap bar. I get all that. I've had all that shit from people, but I've supported this club all my life, and and you're invested. But watching them play like that,
It's just dripping.
just kills your
It's
soul.
dripping away. It's just drip, drip, drip.
Yeah.
Everything about Tottenham, everything about us we're just the fucking laughing stock of the Premier League. It's just dripping away. Someone's got to turn the tap or fix the valve. So, you know what I mean? It's fucking getting stupidly embarrassing,
Yeah, no, I
and
get it.
that's why it's got to stop. I mean, like as people there Sunday, it was like enough is enough. What is happening? Someone get everyone's going about leave here. It's bollocks. It's the tactics that the bloke's using are just not working. We're so
I get
predictable, so
it.
slow.
The problem is though, mate. I get it, right? And I understand all sides of this argument. After that game, like everything I've read, everybody's all in, like pretty much are all like something's got to change. And sometimes things don't work for you and it's just not going to happen. And maybe that's where Angie's at, right? That it's just not going to happen. I mean, I've managed sites before where things have gone spectacularly wrong. And every time you try and put it right, something else goes wrong and you just can't get it right. And I've been there myself. Honestly, I run a site that fell over and I just could not get it back to where it needed to be. It took far too long to achieve. And that
Sounds
maybe
like
sometimes
my afternoon.
but you know what I mean? But sometimes it just don't work. And I just wonder whether that's where we are with Ange. That, and I said that again, I said this when I was talking before, maybe I just like the man rather than the manager.
Yes,
Maybe I
true.
just like him as a person. And I've given him more opportunity because I like him as a person. We'll come on to the manager. We'll come on to the manager at the in a bit.
The thing is, you've got to reset. You've got to stop, haven't you? If it's going complete tits, no matter what you're doing, stop, walk away, evaluate, try and do something else. You
No,
can't
exactly.
keep going. Can't
I
keep
get
going
that.
down his path. Can't keep going
I
down his
get that.
path.
And I think he has been trying to tinker with it. Hence the reason why we went to this free at the back business to try to adapt to the players that he's got. This week in Hoffenheim is going to be even more interesting because you're now without Kinski, Spence, Reguilon, Bissouma, Johnson, Yang. So none of those players are going to be available, right? So you are literally on the bone. Solanke, we don't know what's happening there. So you are literally on even more. You're not on the bare bones. You're on the fucking marrow bone of what we've got left, right? It's
You're
literally where we are.
right.
So it'll be interesting to see what comes on that. But I want to go back to the to Everton, and I want to talk about Kinski,
Oh, Kinky.
because actually overall. I thought he made a fair few saves, a fair few decent saves, actually, which, so it could have been even worse than 3-0 at half time if it wasn't for him. There was a good couple of goes in there where he saved our bacon.
Have a
Mason,
double
have you
saves.
seen that? Yeah, I think so.
We're saving the first minute straight away. Like me and Ryan, and obviously Dad, we're standing there watching the game. The shot in the first minute from Kinski saved. We all looked at each other going, fucking hell, we're in for a good not a good or bad 90 minutes, whatever way you want to look at it. But it's Kinski. I mean, it could have been way worse, 100%. And but then again, I don't doubt if Kinski wasn't in that, if Vicario had been there, I would have thought as well that we would have been okay, because they weren't outrageous saves, but they were good saves. They were important saves. So I think they were very important saves. And I don't think they were outrageous, like save of the season or...
No.
But he's just... It was important and he stepped up to the occasion. So Kinski, I mean, I'll tell you what, Vicario's got to watch his back when he comes back, because maybe Kinski could take the starting place if he carries on making saves and playing like that, because he was nowhere near the problem of what happened on Sunday. I don't think he gets into the conversation if he was the problem.
I think he was one of the ones you could kind of shout out who had a, I won't say a decent game, because you let three goals in, you can't say you're having a decent game. But Alex, coming to you about the thing that was really annoying me, and I've got and it was again really getting up my nose, was this constant playing around the back with the ball. I get the idea around the tactic of kind of drawing the opposition in and all the rest of it.
Yeah,
but when you're being pressured constantly, I do not understand the logic of trying to use the keeper as an extra man to get you up. Because basically what was going, he was going out to Gray, who's going straight back to the keeper, who's then going out to Dragushin, who's lumping it up the field to no one. I don't think his pass has ever hit anybody. I'm yet to see him actually hit a ball to someone in our team, to be honest with you. There might be one that I can vaguely remember that was a great ball. But again, I'm not even sure if he meant it. So, but Alex, talk to me about this. Talk to me about this passing around the back.
It's just can't work it out. He's a goalkeeper for a reason, right? So his outfield skills are probably just slightly under par. So, but the idea of drawing everyone up isn't kind of working anymore. It is where regards to their front two will go, well, he's shit with his feet anyway. He's bound to mess it up, so we'll just go with him anyway. So we're giving them more of an opportunity of scoring a goal, whoever it is, because we're so predictable. And we should just get rid of the ball, start pushing forward, you know. But a lot of other teams are doing it, though, as well, though, aren't they? You know?
It is the new thing that everyone does, right?
But if the idea is about drawing people on, okay, the front two will, but the others won't. So it's just wasting time.
Yeah.
Get rid of it. Get the ball out there. Start pushing forward, you know. And again, Sunday, left, right, back. Keeper, left, right, back. Keeper. It's like no one's got any bollocks to move forward. It's like, you know, I mean, someone blow a whistle, let's go over the top. Yeah, after you, mate. You know, nobody wants to push forward. And by pushing it back to the keeper and thinking everyone's going to run up and have a go and then lob it over and then run off, tactic isn't working. It really isn't working. If there's a tactic that you should change, it should be that. You know, give it to the keeper. Get it. I mean, like Mason said, Liverpool game, he's throwing it at the ball because someone's made a break, you know?
Yeah.
That's what a keeper should be doing. A keeper's there to look. Everyone's looking at the keeper. The keeper's looking the other way. And if he sees someone that is obviously going to made a break, which the others haven't seen, he's going to throw the ball at them. Away we go. Everyone catches up, make some sort of consortium and score a pissing goal. But now it's like, all our eyes on the keeper. Yeah, he's going to piss about it in a couple of seconds. There's an opportunity. Let's take it. They've got to change the tactic.
What worries me is a little bit, or worried me the most, is that in the midfield, I felt that we were so, so poor. There was no movement.
Slow.
At all. No effort, no energy. And I have to say, Maddison, for me, it might as well have been the invisible man. He might as well play the invisible man because he did nothing.
Well, he had a few twists and turns and running about, but Mason would tell you at one point, because where we were, we did have quite a good view, Mason, didn't we, really? But at one point, they're all jogging. The whole midfield were just jogging, doing fuck all.
No pace.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, what am I watching? Are we watching a warm-up or what?
I will say one thing that you can definitely see. There's a big difference in between how we play when we haven't got Solanke. because when you said that midfield was invisible and it is like they weren't there, Solanke usually drops back and he's the target forward. He's the target man that the keeper wants to get the ball to. And Kinski tried that on Son 4 times. Son didn't win one header or anything in the air when Kinski was looking for him.
But he's the shortest bloke on the pitch.
No, Son's 6 foot 2. Son's look it up right now. Son's 6 foot or 6 foot 2. Can't remember. I think he's 6 foot, actually.
How far away is he then?
Yeah, well. Son's 6 foot and he's don't get me wrong. Not a lot of people would say Son's the best in the air.
6 foot
he's
two.
Great with his feet. He's great with his feet, but he's not the best in the air. Jared Branthwaite, who was always on Son when the ball was going to him. Obviously, Son's going to lose the ball, but Solanke wouldn't lose the ball there. Solanke would chest it down or touch it down or header it down, anything. So, even against Arsenal, which you'll probably bring up later. But Solanke, the amount of times he was the target forward for the ball going forward and getting the ball, and we had possession. Everton, that seemed to be what Ange wanted to do again, but it didn't work, did it? You can't give the ball to Son like that.
I mean, to me, I really did think it was a mistake starting with Son up front as the main striker. And I know Richie's coming back from an injury and so on and so forth. But against his old club, you know, coming back, surely it's better to give him the minutes at the start of the game, and then when he starts, see how tired he gets, and then take him off. Because, you know, for the best will in the world, and I know Son's done it, and he's scored some goals, and he's stepped in for Kane at times and all the rest of it, but he is not an out-and-out striker. He is not the man who's going to do that, especially against a strong, organised defensive unit that Moyes is going to create. Because if they're down there, they're going to work really hard for that. Absolutely going to work hard for that. The one thing I did want to bring up about Son is the penalty shout. What was your view on that? He gets bundled right over from a TV point of view. It looked like Son stepped across him and he bundled into him, knocked him down. And the commentator, I can't think who the commentator was. I think it was Carragher. He says, it's a definite foul, but you know it's in the box, so not given. I mean, that to me is the level of commentating that we've got with Jamie Carragher. But
he's got a mouth full of tummy. That's the thing.
I mean, that's the question for me. Did you think it? Have you seen it back? Did you think it was a penalty, or do you think it was soft?
I think it was bundled.
Yeah, I don't think it's a penalty though. As I say, like Lee, I'm very fair when it comes to fouls, and I think I've said that since I started the podcast. So if it was the other way round, in terms of I always see a foul or a penalty shout the other way round, would I get annoyed if that was given? Yeah. That's how I judge situations, because if I was annoyed if it was given, then I don't think it's a penalty. If it was the other way round, if it was given, I'd say right there, fairs, whatever, crack on. But I don't think it was a penalty. I thought it was. I don't think it was a fair challenge, but there's not enough in it. I think exactly what Carragher said. I think he could have worded it a bit differently. I don't think there's enough in it, is what he should have said.
But
if you're calling it out as a foul, if you're saying that's a definite foul, right? Then a foul outside the box. If it's outside the box, it gets given as a foul. But if it's inside the box because it's a penalty, you're not going to give it.
Maybe it could be a game deciding decision. Maybe that's why. Maybe it's a bit of leniency. I don't know. The rules, I ain't got a handbook on me, but I assume it's a bit of leniency, because I think there is a few rules like that with a bit of lenient if it's something to decide the game. No, I think there's been a few examples as the years have gone by, but
it kind of feels like that. And it does feel like, I know I've said this before, that when luck's going against you get all the bad luck. Whereas if the luck's going for you, if you think back to the Leicester scenario when they won the league, every decision went their way. That it was written in the stars. It's a bit like Nottingham Forest now. I mean, I haven't watched Forest, but things are going their way. For them to still be up there, still be challenging and all the rest of it, things are going their way. And teams like Southampton and Ipswich and those that are really right at the bottom, when it's not going your way, it's definitely not going your way. And it just feels a little bit like that for me. At the moment, for me, like you, if it had been given against us, I'd have been disappointed with it. But if they're saying it's a foul, outside the box, then it's a foul inside the box. For me, it's a penalty. And that brings us back to 1-1. And the game can change from there.
But Lee, sorry, just talk about the Son tackle, though. Every team now, every team that we play, when someone's on the break, it's always the two on the one, you know? And so if he's on a break, someone should be coming up to support him, because he's not going to win. He's not going to keep the ball or have possession of the ball if two people are doing a little bit of a pincer movement, you know? And again, it's every match. And they've got to have a look at that and try and work out how they can get around that tactic that people are using against us.
Yeah, but the only way you're going to get around, and that wasn't the scenario for the penalty, to be fair. The penalty was one player on Son as he's running away from Ray from goal. So I'd argue that it's a bit of a different scenario. But I know what you're talking about. But for me, this is about giving him the options to be able to pass to somebody. Because to me, it feels like we can't even pass 6 yards to another player because either the player's not there or we overplay it or whatever. The only bit of genius, and I've got to come on to this because I know time's ticking on, right? But I really wanted to talk about this, was probably the best thing that happened in that game from our point of view was Kulu's goal. What a goal that was.
Yep.
For me, I was absolutely, like to have the presence of mind to pick that pass into the goal the way he did, because let's be honest with it, anybody else would have just pelted that.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
right time, right place, really.
Yeah.
He could have overkicked it, couldn't he? Could have sent it up and to, you know, put it in the car park, but he didn't. It was a nice little touch, just what was required.
Just over the defender, dipping in. I mean, it was probably the best thing in that game for us. And to be honest, probably the best thing that Kulu did, because actually he was quite invisible in the game as well. I thought he had quite a poor game.
Well, but again, though, Lee, we're playing, coming down, playing on the left sort of thing. He was there in space. No one was looking at him. No one was using him. Ooh. So, you know, he had a poor game, okay, he probably did, but nobody was using him. No one was switching the ball. We were just constantly, I know Derek can talk about Mikey Moore when he come on, but it was the same attack. When he come on, down a left, down, and then trying to cross it over, which obviously he did, which Charleston scored, but no one was switching the ball, you know? Everyone's over in this corner, switch it, because there's no one over there. Yeah. And then we could have an attack. But I mean, nobody wants to think like that.
I felt like the only bit of creativity we had in that game came from Kulu Moore, and it sounds stupid, but Spence. He was the only person that was... Yeah. Get weaving away from two players and carrying the ball down the line, which we're
so
kind
no
of
one there, though, is it?
Yeah, but then again, it's just it's not. I mean, it was a team performance, wasn't it? Everyone weren't their best. You can't really walk away from that game and say this person that was great, apart from a couple, if I'm being honest, which is Moore and Kinski, in my opinion, and even Richarlison. He come on and he knew, obviously. I think he's with Richarlison from Everton. He always wants to score against them, but he always wants to moan about it. That's the thing that I find annoying with Richarlison.
I find him annoyed anyway.
He come on and he played out his skin, in my brutal opinion. But then again, I've always backed Richarlison. But Mikey Moore, the same. But Spence and Kulam as well. They were the only creative output in that game. And I felt as if that Everton knew that was going to be the case. Because the amount of times that Kulam would have two players on him or three... Or if Spence had three players running at him, they knew when to press those players. But then when Gray would have the ball, they'd back off. So they went into the right game plan and they knew exactly what to do. And they know Gray can pick out those passes. And that's why they all come back. But when Dragosin had the ball, exactly what Liverpool said before the game, so after the game, is that coaches were telling, say, if I'm going back to the Liverpool game now, coaches were telling Salah, Gakpo, Diaz and so on to push Dragosin. Because when it comes down to pressure, he's not the best. And then we lost 6-3. And to be fair, he's not the best that game. And I think Everton done the same thing. Dragosin's got, if you're running at Dragosin or if Dragosin's got the ball, run at him, something's going to happen. But it's, I think Everton went in with the right state of mind and with Kulu.
They went in with a creative mind.
It's not just watching it. I mean, you can't play these relegation teams like that. I mean, Everton might, some people say they're not a relegation team, they're just a bit unlucky. Mm. But you can't play these teams that are lower down the table when their main. character of a team is physicality. Everton's physical, Southampton's, because they all come from the Championship. They know exactly what they're doing. Everton's physical, Leicester's physical, Southampton are physical, and so on. Many other teams are quite physical. And we went in and we let them run all over us. You can't have Mikey Moore running at Brantway. Yeah, he done well, but you should see the amount of times he got bodied off the ball. Same with Son. When we're talking about physicality, Son's not the most physical presence. That's why he got bodied off the ball. And I think that's what came down to it. Mentality and physicality, that game.
He's 6 foot 2, Son. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah, 6 foot 2 with a lack of physicality. I want to come back. I want to touch on Mikey Moore. I thought he played well. I thought he came in. Obviously, to be fair, to say he had 2 assists is a little bit unfair because I don't think he didn't play to set up the first one that Kudu scored. But obviously, great ball in for Richie to score, and it's good to see Richie get in there and score as well. Gets him off the mark, stops that constant question mark, because it seems likely that he's going to be our striker for Hoffenheim if Solanke is injured. Although I am hearing that it's not as bad an injury as first thought, but whether that's true.
They reckon he's back for Liverpool, don't they?
Well, I mean, it would be good if he was, because we definitely need to start getting some players back for sure. But again, Mikey Moore, I thought had a good game. Richie, I thought, showed a little bit of effort, which was good to see. For me, standout of the match, probably Spence. I don't know how you feel about that, but Spence, I thought again, it would put a really good shift in and deserves the credit that he's getting currently. And it's interesting, isn't it, that when you look at some of the players that are kind of holding the line and doing their best for the manager, it seems to be the players that are the young players, the inexperienced players, or the players that weren't fancied. When you're talking about, Spence or Kinski, Moore, or even Reguilon when he came in, I thought he did really well. Bergvall, yeah, absolutely another one who kind of digs deep and gives a decent performance most of the time. I want to touch on this piece about. Because it's been mentioned a lot. And I don't think you can ever say no.
No.
But relegation, is it a possibility? Alex, how are you feeling about the idea of us being in a relegation fight?
It'd upset Everton, wouldn't it? Because we would have the best stadium in the Championship.
I think we've got to watch what we say about that question, if I'm being honest. Otherwise, we're...
Yeah. We might be marked men. We will go down the high road and get beat up. No, we're not going to get relegated. We're just going for a very tough time, mate. We're not going to get relegated. I suppose it's going to sort out, the dead wood or, sort of thing that, I don't know. We're not going to get relegated is the answer I'm going to give you.
But is that because we've got, there are at least 3 worse teams in the league than us?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. There's more than 3 teams worse than us, Lee. It's exactly what I was going to say.
But who would bode well, does it? Let's be honest.
No,
you're relying on. And bear in mind, right? So the 3 teams that are worse than us that are currently down. Okay, Southampton, still got to play them. We've still got to play them at home, right? But we battered them 5-0. Okay, cool. Ipswich, we lost to them at home and we've got to go to Portman Road. Okay, yeah. And they've just got battered by City 6-0. And then Leicester, who we drew 1-1 with. So they're the 3 worst teams than us. One of them beat us, one of them drew with us, and one of them we've battered. So
I think
when we're talking about the idea that, relegation, we're not going to get relegated. And I'm with you, Alex. I've got, to be absolutely clear, I don't think we'll be relegated.
No.
I think if we can... When we start getting players back, if we do start getting players in or whatever, I do think that things can turn around very quickly. And we have shown that we are able to beat teams and beat teams comprehensively, right? So I don't think we'll get relegated.
That's the only thing that's keeping us up is a goal difference. But I just think this is going to be a season that we will remember, but all for the wrong reasons.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, but then again, you got to think. I think with the teams below us, we it would have very much helped if Ange could beat them at the start of the season. But you got to remember, we had our fully fit team the last few times. But other than Southampton, we had our fully fit team when we played those other two. So I don't know what the excuse is when we either go back when we go to their ground or when we welcome them to us. I don't know what the excuse will be then. But Ange should have beat Palace. He should have beat Leicester. He should have beat Ipswich. And in all fairness, he should have beat Everton. But it's quite annoying really to see, because a lot of people will say, wait for the injuries to come back. Like you said earlier, Lee, wait for the injuries to come back. But you got to remember, we weren't playing the best when they were here. The only player that I could say we're missing is Van de Ven. Romero, other than his breaking passes, which Greg and Van de Ven can do anyway, I don't think we were playing our best football anyway. I think Ange this season has got a lot of it wrong. You can go to your you got to think, in our cup competitions, I think we've lost once in all three competitions. I mean, I know we haven't played one of them, but it's a good thing to say. We haven't lost in all three competitions. But when it comes to the league, I don't understand where he's getting it wrong. We can turn over Liverpool 1-0 in the cup with their fully fit team, but we concede six at home 2 weeks prior. Or you could even say, even Tamworth. Why did we wait till the extra time to score against them? I think he's got it all wrong this season. I think the players are kind of bailing him out, if I'm being honest.
Well, see, it's funny, right? Because I look at it slightly differently. I look at it slightly the other way. Because when I go back to the start of the season, okay, when we drew against Leicester, for me, that game was an individual error where we gave Vardy enough space and he punished us, right? They had probably one opportunity. They scored that goal and they ground out a draw. We were winning that game all the way through. We were unlucky not to score more goals. But what he should have done, what Ange should have done, is he should have shored it up, gone a little bit defensive and saw out the win. He didn't. Then when you kind of look at, you know, the Palace game, where we had a fully fit squad or whatever, and Brighton, those were the ones, the turning point for me, where we lost those games. And it was, for me, was because the players let the manager down. They were half-assed, not interested, slow, lazy, lethargic. All the same things we're still saying now. And that's what really, really disappoints me about it, is that we're banking on having our fully fit players come back, but are they going to be fully fit and raring to go? The issue for me has always been, if you've got a fully fit squad, but a player is out of form, like Porro, for instance, if you take Porro at the moment, out of form, but if you haven't got the ability to change him, he just keeps playing poorly.
Yep.
And that, I think, has been part of the issue. If you can't rotate because your squad isn't big enough with enough quality, then you are going to struggle.
Yep.
So if Maddison's having a poor game, you can't change him for, I don't know, say Bergvall. I'll use Bergvall as an example. He didn't change him for Bergvall because he didn't trust Bergvall, because he's still just an 18-year-old kid just coming in. But actually, he's shown that he can really do it. He can really play well. Udogie is another one, not playing particularly well and all the rest of it, but never tried to put Spence in to cover for him. Just let him keep playing when he was playing poorly because he didn't trust that he was going to do it. Now,
it's Spence the same story, is probably it's the same story with Porro now as well, because Porro could easily be holding bench when we did have Udogie. Porro was still starting over Spence, which I found infuriating. Because where Porro at one point, I can't remember what game it was, but Spence had been sitting at, well, it's not sitting there, but oh, it was the Liverpool game, 6-3. Porro had been playing awfully, awfully shit. I was fuming at the performance he put in. And Spence was on the side. And Spence had to wait to the 80th minute to get even a showing. And he played well. That's what annoyed me. And Ange has done it a few times this season. It's not favourites. But I think it's, as what you say, Lee, trust. I don't think it's favourites. I think it's trust. But then again, when you're only signing 18-year-olds for some reason, you're not going to have that trust because they're still so young. So when Ange is forced to play players who aren't doing very well, i.e. Udogie, like last year, it's the same topic of what I said earlier. I think he's coaching out of him. Because when you saw Udogie and you saw another example... Kinski, they were playing completely differently. It took Ange 1 week to change Kinski, and it took Ange 6 months to change Udogie. Towards the last part of the season, after his injury, because it was a North London derby, and Udogie had to come out and he couldn't play, that's when we saw the turning point. Just before the injury, he started declining. And his last good game last season, I want to say, was Bournemouth, when he got the assist for Kulusevski. It had been going down and down and down, and then he got injured. I think he is coaching out of him, and I think he needs to change. But I'm just getting very frustrated, because as what you say, Lee, the players aren't playing, they're not showing up.
Okay. Over this season so far, and bear in mind this is episode 21, right? So for the last 20 episodes when we've kind of talked about this, from a manager perspective, we've all been very, very supportive of the manager. Wanting to give him time and all the rest of it. Where do you sit now? Where do you sit now, Mason? What's your view now? Are you in a situation now where you're saying the manager needs to go, or are you saying he needs time? What's you know? I guess it's the question: back him or sack him.
I'm 50-50, Lee, if I'm being honest, and there's reasons for both. I think to keep him in, he hasn't got his players. The players he asked for, they're not playing. They're injured. They're out. The players he's asked to keep, they can't play. Even to the point where, who are you going to get in? I mean, Christ, I saw a link to Thomas Frank earlier and Kieran McKenna. If you're complaining about the football now, imagine that with them two. And just saying about high-pressing football and so on, which we do like, but we're not seeing of a lot recently. Can you imagine if a Brentford or Ipswich manager with that style of football coming over to a top six club? They're the two reasons. I think one is his players, two that he can't use. Sorry, his players. He literally can't play them. And who are you going to get in to replace him? You can't. You can't replace him. You don't. There's not enough managers right now, or depth of managers to bring anyone in. And the other side is, well, I would say get him out. It's exactly Dean convinced me after the Arsenal game. He was coming home from the Arsenal game. He's changing the players and how they think. Son is. I want to say he's our fifth top goal scorer. He doesn't shoot anymore. Well, what does that mean? Why does Son not shoot anymore? He'll make the pass, and that's why he's our all-time assistant now. I think it was his second. I can't remember. I think he's all-time now. But he'll make the extra pass. But how can you be in the top five goal scorers ever in the history of our club and can't get and make one shot on target average per game per all season? I find that Madison as well. How many times did we see at Leicester? Free kick here, free kick there. He's banging them in. He's scoring from outside the box. But he's not doing... When was the last time Madison scored? I can't remember. Was it Fulham? I can't remember.
Free kick, wasn't it?
Yeah,
the free kick Villa. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Free kick Villa, last minute. You don't see it anymore. The players aren't playing the same way. And I think he's coaching out of them. And that's the main thing with Ange, with me, is that he's changing the players, but he won't change the style of play. It's very annoying to me.
Alex, let me come to you, ask you the same question. Are you back him or sack him?
I want to back him. I don't like his tactics, and I don't like how he's breaking players during the training. So I think he's got it wrong. I think he's got to take on board what people are telling him from what they're seeing, because we can't be the only ones that are seeing what's going on. And we can't, and someone must be telling him. So it just makes you wonder what he's watching, you know? So I back him, but I just want him to change. He's got to change. He's got to evolve, you know? He can't keep playing our team the way he's playing. He can't keep breaking them in training. How can you break a player? All right, accidents happen and all that. But how hard is he pushing them? He's got to it's like when you're training, Lee, isn't it? You're training a topic. You go into a room and you evaluate what kind of people you've got in front of you and what levels that those people are at. You know, he must be getting it all wrong because he's breaking them. And the tactics don't work. He's got to fucking change.
So let me just pick up on this, right? So and I'm only going on what I'm reading, what I'm seeing, right? So, I'm pretty much sure I picked this up on a WhatsApp group from somewhere where I'm being told or what I've read is that actually there is no hard training currently. that the training has been fairly light and easy.
Bollocks.
Because listen,
well then the players aren't up to speed, then, are they? He's bought a sack of shit.
So what we're being told is that the training isn't regimented and difficult because there isn't enough time between games to be able to train hard. You have to assess it. I for the life of me, I cannot believe that we've got all these sports science people, all these doctors, all this medical team, all these different coaches and all the rest of it, right, that are basically just running players into the ground because Ange has got some little notes on the back of a clipboard that says make them run all the time. I can't honestly believe that. There must be more to it than that. In terms of back him or sack him, just so that I give my kind of take on it as well. I'm with you, Mason. And to a certain extent with you, Alex, is that I've always been Ange in. I've always wanted a project manager to be given time to influence the club, the players, the fans, and build something. I recognise where we were before he came in and the positive spin that he put on stuff. But I wanted that manager to be backed by the owners to really give him what he needs. You know, so I get it. You've got to buy these young players when they're young because they're at a good price. Because you're not going to buy Archie Gray now for 40 million quid. I'm sorry, it's not going to happen. Not. Even now, playing for us, he is going to be a 60, 70 million pound player, right? So you can't afford to sit back. Same as Bergvall, 10 million for him. This time next year, he will be 50 million, right? So you've got to get in when you can. So I get that. But at the same time as that, you've got to give him the tools for now to be able to rotate that squad, to give him the thing. So, and I also recognise that there is so many injuries that if he's not got the players to rotate, and he hasn't got the players coming in and all he's got to rely on is the youngsters, I find it difficult to say you can't give him a chance. But at the same time as that, I'm the same with you, is that the tactics are not always working. His stubbornness is an issue. He's got questions to answer. And that's the difficult bit, is you're kind of caught between the two. Will his tactics ultimately work with the right players, the right rotation options, the right training and so on? Because you think if you're running around training every day, these are athletes. These people are trained to do this. This ain't like you and me going there on a Sunday morning after we've been to the pub on a Saturday night, having a game of football. These people, they look after their bodies. They eat all the right stuff. They've got personal trainers and all this sort of
stuff. What are you saying?
Well, apart from you, Alex, obviously, with your goddess-type body. I'll say goddess because of your long locks. But you know what I mean?
They're like a finely tuned F1 car, aren't they? You know, the slightest thing, though, will break. That's the problem. Yeah, are they that finely tuned that they are breaking that easy?
Yeah, but Leo, I'd make you right about buying the youngsters. If Ange hadn't spent £350 million on starters, not even the kids. You're thinking Solanke was 70, Brennan Johnson was 65. He decided to keep Kulu, which was another 40. I'm probably forgetting even more, Van der Ven for 40, and so on. It's not as if he hasn't spent money. I mean, we complain about the scum down the road who have spent £700 million since Arteta's been there. Ange just spent half of that in two seasons.
But you've got to look from where you've been, right? You can't replace a whole squad of players, which is essentially what we're doing, for £300 million.
I get that.
Not in today's market. Not in today's market. And I challenge anyone to go out there and find a Premier League proven goal scorer for £60 million or for less than £60 million.
Chris Wood.
Really?
Fiverr for a 35-year-old. Bosh. Done.
But you get what I mean. Like, Brennan Johnson wasn't 65 million or 60 million. He was saying like 40 million, wasn't he? He wasn't 60 million.
No, he was 65. I'll get it up. Hang on.
I don't think he was.
Is that right?
The thing is, though, we've got all these players, though, boys, but they're not in the team because they're injured. Do you know
yeah,
what I
I mean,
mean?
This is the thing. You talk about Van de Ven, how much we paid for him. You talk about, take Van de Ven, right? But you haven't got another Van de Ven, right? So when Van de Ven's out, you haven't got anybody to change him, right? So then you've got Dragushin, who he's brought in, who is not Van de Ven. Doesn't play like Van de Ven. He plays more like Romero, right? So he's more the Romero standing than he is the Van de Ven standing. So you're still a Van de Ven type player short if you're going to play that way. Left back, you've got Udogie. Right back, you've got Porro. You haven't got another player specifically for that role. If Spence is going to be for Porro, who's for Udogie?
I think that's what I mean.
There isn't enough players to be able to swap like for like and have that strength and the quality that you want of those players. And that's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take time to do that.
You right, Lee. I didn't realise the website that I use does it in euros. So it's closer to 60 million euros, but it is roughly £52 million, which is still, for Brennan Johnson, it's still a hell of a lot of money. It's not as if he hasn't spent, is what I'm just trying to say.
And I'm not saying he's not spent. I'm not saying that we haven't spent money and all the rest of it. I totally believe that we have spent money. But I also totally believe that when you've taken out the amount of players we're taking out, the only players that are left from before, Reguilon, we want rid of, right, who hasn't played, right? Son, who's the captain, and Ben Davis. Essentially, you've got two players left from the squad that he took over, from the group that he took over, that were not part of the, that were part, not part of the rebuild. Kulu was part of the rebuild anyway. Bentancur was part of the rebuild. Basumi was part of the rebuild.
You could even say Romero, but he came with Nuno. But you could even say Romero because he was definitely a step up in quality.
But those were the type of players that we were bringing in to try to rejuvenate that squad and all the rest of it. And it's going to take time. And that's right. For me, we are at least five players short to even be considered having any depth of squad to be able to compete to the level we are competing in all the competitions that we've got. So, you know, for me, that's what kind of buys Ange time. But if you'd have asked me on Sunday, I'd have said, get him out. Get that bloke out.
I think it was all like that, if I'm being honest. It was all in the car, weren't we, going, he's got to go. But now we've let it mellow for 2 days. It's a bit... Well, it's not really all his fault, is it? It's just
you start to mellow and start to see, think a little bit with a little bit more clarity.
No, not really. The tactics are all wrong. So fuck him.
We should probably do something straight after the Leicester game when that finishes to say exactly how
you're too busy running down the pub, mate.
Got to get that bus home, mate. Got to get that bus home. Listen, believe it or not, we haven't even talked about Arsenal, which is probably a good thing. I don't really want to talk about that game either. But we are already at an hour and 3 minutes, so I'm not going to drag it out too much longer. But I do want to ask about Hoffenheim. Mason, how are you feeling? don't hide under there. How are you feeling about Hoffenheim on Thursday?
I mentioned that meme earlier about Dr. Tottenham and Hoffenheim. So I sent it to my Leicester mate and I said, one out of three.
He's only got one Leicester mate, by the way. Go on.
I said, one out of three, Dominic Calvert-Lewin will score. He scored. And then the other one was, we lose to Hoffenheim because they're in a relegation battle and they've just lost 5-0 to Bayern Munich in the, I think they were 3-0 down in the first half. And then the last one.
Sounds familiar.
The last one was losing to Leicester, who have had one Premier League away win all season. So they're the three, and I reckon both are going to come true. I'm not very confident about Hoffenheim because it's Europa League, as you say, depleted squad, can't bring half the players with us because they're not registered. I'd like to see a win, but I don't know. I really don't know, Lee. I'd like to say we won't lose, but at the moment the forms and the injuries are stacking and stacking. So I don't think we'll lose, put it that way, but I can very much see a draw.
Okay, draw. So what are we saying? 1-1, 2-2, 3-3?
Oh no, I'll watch it be, but it'll be a one all draw. Go on, watch it be a game in the tournament now. I think it's going to be proper boring, but one all for me.
Okay, Alex, what are you saying? How are you feeling about it?
Well, I mean, as much as I'm frustrated with him and the tactics and all that, you still got to keep positive. You've still got to get behind the team. I think we're going to win. I reckon we're going to win 2-0.
Okay, 2-0. Not even going to concede a goal.
No. I reckon we're going to play our socks off and, just keep pushing forward and win 2-0.
There we go. Spence and Gray in central defence. With no one on the Ben Davies on the left. Listen, okay. All right. So for me, my biggest concern is about the squad. Who have we got? What positions are we going to be able to cover and everything else? But listen, like you say, this is Hoffenheim. They are 15th in their league. They are getting battered. So provided Dr. Tottenham doesn't turn up, then we should be okay. We don't have to win this game. If we can get a draw at this one and a draw at the next one, that should be enough, maybe. But it would be good to kind of have it done and dusted, shouldn't it?
I think we've only got two games left, haven't we? We've got this one in Elfsborg, do we not? Yeah. Or have we got one after that?
No, I think it's just the two, isn't it?
So if we win both, do we go through, or does it rely on other results?
I'm not sure where we are, to be honest with you.
Let me have a quick Google. Truthful.
But I think this is one, it really depends on which Tottenham comes through. So Joe's just said we need 2 points minimum. No, 4 points minimum. Right.
We need 4 points minimum, Joe says.
Yeah, so, I think it relies on Rangers and Man United. So we'll see.
You know, at one point we were on top of win, weren't we?
Man United and Rangers play each other, which kind of helps out for us, being that they're the two above us. But that's who they play on Thursday. They play each other, so that could help us out. But then going forward with that, I don't know who they've got after that. They've got Union Saint. I'm not pronouncing that. The Belgian team.
But we've got to keep positive. So you know, it's like well, as I said,
gonna...
I think. I think it's 2-1.
I'm going to go 2-1 anyway. I'm just picking it as the kind of safest happy clapper option. Yeah, I mean that's my happy clapper option is to go with 2-1.
You coming on Sunday?
Yes.
You coming Sunday? You are.
Yes.
Excellent. Good to see you.
Yeah. No, I will be there. I will be there. Okay, so listen, guys, 1 hour and 8 minutes, so I'm not going to hold you any longer. Brilliant to see so many people in the comments. We are reading them as we go. I hope that this has given you a little bit of therapy, seeing three other people suffering in the same way that you're probably suffering. Looking forward to the game on Thursday, because when we're not playing, we miss them. When they are playing, we hate them. But listen, this is football. This is Tottenham Hotspur. We've been doing it the hard way since 1882, so nothing's likely to change from that point perspective. But all that's left to say is thank you to the guys again. I really appreciate you coming on, Alex. I appreciate you. I know that you rushed straight in from work and got straight on with it. So
any speeding tickets, mate, you're paying for them. All
right,
so.
Hey, I've got a speeding awareness course on Friday. So already signed up.
Hang on, there's 3 points I've got to sort out now.
Jesus. Anyway, thanks very much, guys. Thanks everybody for watching. We'll see you on the next one. Please do feel like if you do feel like it, subscribe to the channel. It don't cost you anything. It really helps the algorithm and gets other people knowing that we're out there. So thanks for that, and I'll see you all in the next one. Up the Spurs.
Go on to Tottenham. See you soon.